Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages, and giveth him not for his work, that saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar, and painted with vermilion. Jeremiah 22:13-14. Good morning, friends. It is a pleasure to be coming your way another time with a short message from the Word of God. I want to talk to you briefly concerning honesty. Honesty seems to be a forgotten virtue by so many in this our modern day. Listen to the definition from Webster concerning honest: free from deception, truthful, genuine, real. Then it goes on to describe it further as humble, plain, reputable, respectable, good, worthy, creditable, marked by integrity. Finally, it gives the meaning of honest as frank, sincere, innocent, simple. That sounds to me like a valuable virtue, doesn't it to you? Now, let me show you the value which God places upon honesty. In 2 Corinthians 8:21, we have this admonition: providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Here's another scripture which says almost the same thing: recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:17. All the shrewdness, ability, education, and learning of a wise man is worth very little in the absence of honesty. What kind of a person does a storekeeper desire to employ? Well, he wants someone who can take care of his business. It needs to be someone who can evaluate merchandise, make mathematical calculations, and all that sort of thing. But that is not all an employer wants. He wants a man or woman who is going to be honest. I would say this is even more important than the first requirement. Sometimes employees and contractors are even placed under a heavy bond. Why is this? It is to ensure the employer, if this man fails to be honest with him, his business will not be completely ruined and he will be reimbursed for the dishonesty of this employee. I regret that so many people do not live up to their word. They will tell you one thing and do another. Honesty and truth cannot be evaluated in dollars and cents. It is worth more than material things. I am of the firm conviction that a true child of God values his word and integrity more than financial gain. Did you notice that first text I read which pronounced a woe on that person who built his house by unrighteousness? Jesus, in telling the parable of the sower, had this to say about the good ground. I quote, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Luke 8:15. So Christ put a premium on honesty also. One may be ever so shrewd and use his ability in a dishonest manner. Notice this verse from Romans 13:13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. You see, the one who walks honestly and uprightly before the Lord has a greater defense than those who indulge in rioting and drunkenness. Truth will overcome evil. Truth is more powerful than evil. Josephus, the noted historian, tells a story concerning King Darius. It seems that during his reign, he had a feast. The rulers of the Medes and the princes of the Persians, along with the generals of his armies, had gotten together in eating and drinking. Now, I'm not telling this as from the scriptures, but as the story given by Josephus. Well, after King Darius went to bed, he couldn't sleep. Of course, that wouldn't be hard to understand either, would it? But he got to thinking and fell into conversation with three of his bodyguards. So he made an agreement with them, and he gave each of them a topic for study. They were supposed to make a speech. He wanted the first one to discuss whether wine was not the strongest. The second one was supposed to make a speech on whether kings were not the strongest. Then the third one on whether women were not the strongest or whether truth was the strongest of them all. So when the morning came, King Darius sent for his great men and princes. Then he had the guards of his body to declare what they thought proper concerning the proposed question in the hearing of them all. The first fellow went into some length describing the power of wine. He pointed out how it deceived the mind of those who drink it and reduces that of the king to the same state with that of the orphan and he who stands in need of a tutor. He showed how it quenches the sorrow of those who were under calamities and makes men forget the debt they owe to others and make them think of themselves as the richest. Nay, more, it makes them insensible of their commanders and their kings and their friends and takes away the remembrance of their companions. The next fellow pointed out the strength of a king. He said, "They are men who govern all things. They force the earth and the sea to become profitable to them in what they desire. And over these men do kings rule, and over them they have authority." Then he went on to say, "When these kings command their subjects to make wars and undergo dangers, they're hearkened to. And when they send them against their enemies, their power is so great that they are obeyed. They command men to level mountains and to pull down walls and towers. Nay, when they are commanded to be killed and to kill, they submit to it, that they may not appear to transgress the king's commands. And when they have conquered, they bring what they have gained in the war to the king." He also mentioned how those who labor in the field brought of the fruits of their labors as tributes to the king. Then he finished with this question: "How then can it be otherwise, but that it must appear that the king exceeds all in strength, while so great a multitude obeys his injunctions?" Then this third fellow began by saying, "Wine is strong, as is the king also, whom all men obey, but women are superior to them in power. For it was a woman that brought the king into the world, and for those that plant the vines and make the wine, they are women who bear them and bring them up. Nor indeed is there anything which we do not receive from them. For these women weave garments for us, and our household affairs are by their means taken care of and preserved in safety, nor can we live separate from women. We also leave father and mother and the earth that nourishes us, and frequently forget our dearest friends for the sake of women. Nay, we are so hardy as to lay down our lives for them. But what would chiefly make you take notice of the strength of women is this that follows. Do not we take pains and endure a great deal of trouble, and that both by land and sea? And when we have procured somewhat as the fruit of our labors, do not we bring them to the women as to our mistresses and bestow them upon them?" Well, after this fellow had finished talking about the power of women, Josephus reports that the princes and rulers looked one upon another, and then this fellow began again to speak about truth. He said, "I have already demonstrated how powerful women are, but both these women themselves and the king himself are weaker than truth. For although the earth be large, and the heaven high, and the course of the sun swift, yet are all these moved according to the will of God, who is true and righteous, for which cause we also ought to esteem truth to be the strongest of all things, and that what is unrighteous is of no force against it. Moreover, all things else that have any strength are mortal and short-lived, but truth is a thing that is immortal and eternal. It affords us not indeed such a beauty as will wither away by time, nor such riches as may be taken away by fortune, but righteous rules and laws. It distinguishes them from injustice and puts what is unrighteous to rebuke." End of quote. Friends, don't you think we ought to be like this scripture in Proverbs, "Buy the truth and sell it not"? Also wisdom and instruction and understanding, Proverbs 23:23. If there was ever a time when the people of our nation needed to turn away from dishonesty, it is today. I believe the example should begin with us as a people of God. For the benefit of our listeners, may I say that we certainly appreciate those who help us keep this message going from week to week. If you would like to write us, or if the message proves a blessing to you, you may write us by addressing your letter to the Mission Trail, Guthrie, Oklahoma. Let us pray. Our Father, bless each listener of the broadcast in the way which they need most. We ask that the words of the message may be carried by the Holy Spirit to the heart of each listener. And for that which is accomplished, we will give thee the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, he is triumphant power I'll tell.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessings be with each of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.
Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon.